This is the Carlton Podcast. Here's your host, Tony Moclair.
Hello and welcome to the Carlton Podcast. It's episode 18. He has done his time, wiped the record clean, let it show no stain that may admit impediment to the great Mitch Robinson.
Oh, mate, it's good to be here. Episode 18.
Well, how are you this week as we come up to a milestone game for you?
Mate, you've never seen anyone as more up and about as me this week. Even Monday morning waking up, I was smiling. Just finished the 2 weeks of hell. After training every day, I was getting extra treatment, and as in like on the field running more and stuff. So it's great to be back. And you know, it was a good week against St Kilda. The boys were up and about. Then you know, we kind of had a bad third quarter, which is all it really was, against Sydney. Yeah. And then you know, we're looking to redeem ourselves this week versus North Melbourne, a quality opposition on a Friday night. So
yes, they are.
I'm feeling good, mate. Ready to go. And who do we have here today?
I'm very excited about our guest. He wears an esteemed number at the Carlton Football Club.
This
can
bio
I just
is
say?
Going to be a long one.
Pardon?
This bio should be a long one.
Well, it's pretty chunky. So sit back, have some complimentary nuts, Robbo, as I go through our guest's biography or CV. He made his debut for the Blues during their round 21 clash against Richmond in 2013. He's played 5 games for the Blues and has kicked 3 goals. Ooh. Described as a hard-running midfielder who started out at Traralgon Tyres United before joining the Gippsland Power. This man can run with coal dust in his lungs. He won the best and fairest player in the under-18 TAC competition.
Oh,
and a few weeks later, he joined the Blues as their third choice in the AFL draft. Something you may not know, Robbo, but you do. I didn't. He is a cabinet maker by trade.
Nick Stevens? Oh, no.
And he's recently starred alongside Dylan Buckley in Driving with Sam Pang. He is
what?
Nick Graham.
Nick Graham, welcome, mate.
How are we, guys?
How was the brush with fame with the great Sam Pang?
Yeah, it was a pretty good experience.
Be honest, you didn't know who he was, did you?
I had no idea who he was.
You don't watch Eurovision?
Sam Pang, I had to say, no one really knows. But
had to just go along with it and pretend that he was a kind of a big deal. But yeah, we got it done in the end. So just happy to be here and celebrate Robbo's 100th game.
I'd like to watch that episode. You'd be given plenty, I reckon.
Yeah, we gave a little bit.
Good questions?
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. The answers were a bit better than questions. So.
And who was driving?
Bucks was driving.
Dylan okay, Buckley. How do you rate him as a driver?
Terrible.
Okay.
Terrible.
But you got through it.
We got through, thankfully, because there was very precious cargo in the car. So.
Yeah.
Hey, Nick Graham. How you going, mate?
Good, Robbo. How are you?
Good, thank you. Have you kicked 3 goals in your game in five games?
I don't know where that information has actually come from.
That's 2 weeks in a row.
Incorrect.
It's all reliable. It's official now.
Why you can't keep using Wikipedia, man.
I'll claim 3, but I haven't kicked any up at the big league, so I'll take 3.
Okay.
Why would you take it? I've kicked 200 goals.
Point out, Robbo, that there are a lot of people listening to the podcast, not only around Australia, but also overseas. This is export quality,
mate,
podcasting that you and I do.
I can't believe it. We have a gig after footy. You know, when I finish up my career, I don't see why not. Because this is actually one of the most listened to sports podcasts in Australia. And we're going international.
That's right. The UK. We have a lot of listeners in the UK. So hello to anyone.
I'd like to take this opportunity to thank you. All you guys are listening every week. You know, it might not have the best guests on here, but we are doing pretty well. So thank you, everyone, besides today.
One of those good ones this week. Yeah.
Especially everyone listening in Old Blighty. And as a special offer to anyone based in the UK, Nick, I'm going to launch this on you. Nick Graham will build you a new cabinet.
Mate, he's best in the business.
Yeah.
He was so good that they got drafted because we had to finish off Visy Park at the time. And we need him to come up here and do a couple of projects. So
all we need is a few more premiership cups to put on said cabinets, and we'll be very happy. Now, speaking of which, Nick, before we get to the post-mortem of the Sydney game, the thing that everyone's talking about, Mick's blow-up at Cameron Ling.
Yep.
Can you tell us from your perspective how it went down? You're on the field.
Yeah, so the boys obviously went into the rooms at halftime. Me being the sub, I stayed out on the ground a bit longer to do some extra warming up, some extra kicking and stuff. And as I've kind of ventured into the rooms, I've seen Cameron Ling and the Channel 7 boys kind of venturing out and didn't look too happy. So I actually missed the verbal exchange, but yeah, I don't think they were too happy about it. But
Robbo, your experience, does that sum up Mick Malthouse, the Mick Malthouse you know?
Well, it's funny because, you know, the media are always looking for passionate people in the game and stuff. And here we have Mick, who's, you know, probably one of the higher passionate blokes I've ever met in my life. Like, I've had plenty of sprays, probably won a game off him. And he's always in your face and stuff. But, like, that's Mick. During the game, you know, tempers rise and stuff. But, you know, inside the club rooms, he's the most positive, you know, bloke going around. He's, like, always making us feel like, you know, we've always got a chance to win. And It's just funny to see all the media jumping on board, trying to blow it up, make it something that's not so.
But you raise an interesting point there, Robbo, and I just want to pick your brains about this, Nick Graham. That was Mick at halftime when we were still in the game.
I only watched that at the halftime too, and I thought these boys are going pretty good.
What on earth was he like at three-quarter time?
Three-quarter time, again, I missed actually a fair bit of the...
You've been asked this bloke. He wasn't in there, really, was he?
But after the game, he's actually pretty positive, to be honest. Like Robbo said earlier, it's just the third quarter that kind of let us down, and after the game, we reviewed that in brief. But after the game, he's actually a lot more nicer and positive than he was at halftime, by the sounds of things.
What can you just, from your perspective, and I want to get your perspective on this too, Robbo, 10-goal third quarter was astonishing for Sydney. We know how good they are, but where did Sydney conjure that from, Nick?
Sitting on the bench, I could kind of feel Buddy started to get into it. After he took a few contested marks and started to get his hands on the ball, and then he bombed that one from about 100 metres out and went straight through the middle. So after that, you could kind of, feel the stadium start to grow a bit, and he was starting to grow a bit, and then, just decided to turn it on and just went bang, and we really had no answer for him.
Well, you had, the best and worst of both worlds over your two-week suspension, Robbo. You had the big win against St Kilda, which I guess you were gutted not being part of, and then, I guess, there'd be a part of you that was maybe a little grateful that you weren't part of a 12-goal loss to Sydney.
I was sitting at home watching the game. I was one out with the Sun Chancy boys, so I didn't get to watch too much of it. I missed it actually third quarter, thank goodness. But we dissected the game on Monday in a review, and we can see some parts are lingering in our structures and stuff that we aren't setting up properly. So there's the things that we can tidy up still, and we've got 6 weeks to do that. And we're looking to make a pretty big impact on the year and end of the year, and bring it into next year. So there's some things we can tidy up, and we'll learn from it. And let's just hope it doesn't happen this Friday.
And no complaint, Blaine got his first
what a goal. I actually saw
goal.
That.
So congratulations.
The boys got around him.
How's he been around the club this week, Nick? Has he been cock-a-hoop? Has he been...
Well, he's not the loudest bloke you'll ever meet, Big Blaino, but this week he's been a bit up and about. He's mentioned to me a few times how many goals have I kicked, how many goals have
three.
He kicked.
You kicked three, mate.
Well, we know for a fact you kicked three.
You can't be, you kicked three.
I don't think he knows that, but no, it was actually a really good goal. The pressure was on, and he went back and kicked it about 70 metres into the stand, so yeah, it's a good kick.
Can you tell us about your football apprenticeship in Gippsland? Is that a particularly hard place to learn the craft? I know they're certainly fanatical about football in that part of Victoria. There's no doubting that.
Yep. I love growing up there. I like to think they breed a good contested style of footy down there. It's pretty tough with the Gippsland Power Program. There's a lot of boys that live 3 hours away and have to just travel 3 hours to get to training, which was in Morwell, and to come up to Melbourne and play, they're travelling 5 hours and things like that. So it's a pretty tough program, but yeah, I love my time down there, and I think it helped me in good stead to make that transition into the AFL world.
Now, Robbo, I touched on it at the very top of the podcast. It's a very exciting week, not only for you, but for Lockie Henderson and Yaz.
Yep.
Before the podcast today, you did a bit of media about this milestone 100th game. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, there's three of us that are playing our 100th game. Me and Yaz are playing 100th for Colton, and Hendo is playing his 100th AFL game. So me and Yaz should be getting the more praises because we've been in Colton from the get-go. So... it's a massive accomplishment. It's something that I'm going to cherish a lot because, as you know, I've got a son. So, once you get the 100, you get a father-son rule. So, so hopefully he'll be able to, get drafted to Colton and continue the Robinson name. So
get the name in the locker
get
as
the
well.
Name on the, yeah, get the name in the locker up there with Big Mate Lappin was the last one, and then Gleeson. So, there's Chris Williams and those blokes.
They are two great Carlton players. That's
and
really
Big
exciting.
Big Gleeson's pretty much here every day, or like all the week, doing his extra fitness stuff. So it's great to see him around. It's just good to see someone else at the number. And he comes to most games as well, which is good. And when I first got drafted, Lappo was one of the Fords coach. So, it was good to have him here. He played 196 games for the club and passed it on to me. So...
Nick, Chris Yaron, perhaps not the most talkative of people. Has he been strutting around the place, kind of trying to draw attention to this milestone game?
He's always got a bit of a strut, old Yazza.
Which one are you talking? Yazz is always up and about around the club. Loves himself.
Yeah, okay. We'll edit that bit out.
No, you leave that in there because, he is always one of those blokes that are similar to myself, but he's actually, he's pretty...
He's pretty happy with himself.
He's pretty happy with himself, let's be honest.
Well, you would be if, if you were him.
If I had his speed, I'd be pretty happy with myself.
If I had his speed and skills, I'd be pretty happy as well. So,
Yeah. He was, just to give some bio information on Yaz, Carlton's first round draft pick in the 2008 National Draft. Came to Carlton after a season at Swan Districts in the WAFL, or the Waffle, making his debut for the Blues, round 7, 2009 against Freo. They could have just left him in Perth.
Should have, maybe.
Why would they get him all the way over here? Should have. Put him in a Carlton job and then send him back to Perth. It seems a bit pointless.
I think he had a bit of fitness stuff to do back then. So.
In 2010, Yaz earned a Rising Star nomination, and in 2012, he took out the AFL's Goal of the Year. That was that magnificent effort from the boundary line against Richmond.
Which we hear about every day.
All the time. And it's even on the web. I saw it on the website being pumped up again. Like, we just can't get away from that goal, even though I was out of bounds, but, you know, it's still a great goal.
Okay, well, let's not mention anything you've done over Tyson Goalsack this
year.
Let's
talk about Big Hendo. Here's Big Hendo's bio.
Well, Hendo, can I look, from a fan's point of view, can I just say this is a fairy tale. I love Lockie Henderson. Culture, I love his story. I love the fact that Fev, as good as he was just becoming a bit of a problem to manage, and we said, see you later to Fev. He went north. And in return, we get a great clubman, a great leader, and just a great all-round player like Lockie Henderson. This is a truly great story. So his bio information there, if you want to read that out, Robbo.
Yeah, he began his AFL career at Brisbane in 2008, playing 15 games for the Lions before being traded in that big trade. So
yep.
In 2009, as part of the deal, we saw Brendan Vivola head north. The 24-year-old last year finished third in Colton's Best and Fairest. He took out the Most Determined and High Achiever awards.
Have you ever won that, or have you won that, Nick?
No.
I won something similar to that. I don't know. No, I can't remember what it was called. It was
you like haven't won? There's not Best Cabinet Made by a player in the BNF?
The Best Cabinet Maker or Apprentice of the Year. I think I won that back in my day. But
you're not the only cabinet maker in the team, are you?
There's a few builders. So Slug Allard.
Yeah, a couple of Sparkies.
Yeah.
Sam what Rowe. About Cabinet Maker is a bit more specific and high-end high than like carpentry, handyman. I like to think.
Yeah.
And so how long's the apprentice and where did you do the apprenticeship?
So I left school when I was 15, so yeah. I was pretty young, and it was a four-year apprenticeship, and I managed to get it done in three, so I just got signed off, fully qualified, just before I got picked up to Carlton, so it worked out really well.
So that's a great thing, knowing that, because there are a lot of players who get into football not having that fallback career in the case of a, say, season-ending or career-ending injury. How does that influence your career at all, having that plan B?
A little bit. I don't really think about it that much. Hopefully, I don't get any career-ending injuries anytime soon or anything like that. But I think it just prepared me well when I was working the days, kind of like 8 till 4:30, in the always being around men and grown adults and things like that. I think it just prepared me well for when I did make that transition into AFL. Yeah.
You don't have to name names. You might even want to drop a number or two of anybody in the playing group who's tried to get free cabinets out of you.
Big Johnny Barker, one of our assistant coaches, has hit me up a few times, and I've kind of reneged on the offer a few times. I think he's starting to get the drift now. I haven't heard about him, or haven't heard from him for a while. So,
okay.
Mate, that's why we're not playing any games. You got to do what you got to do to get a game in this competition. You know that?
I think Robbo might be building a house or something soon, so I might get in there and quote
him.
You'll
be the first on my list.
So Gibbsy didn't get you in for the renovation, the big renovation he was doing.
Allard probably.
Unfortunately,
he's
not.
He's a little guy that hangs around him all day, following him around, so he'll probably be building his house for free.
He's like a little fish following around a big shark.
He is. All day. You know those ones that cling onto the shark? They hang on top of it and clean it? That's how hard.
Oh, that's nice. That's.
Nah, but let's be honest, he's playing his 50th game this week as well, so let's not forget about that.
No, exactly. That's another milestone, Davey Allard, and we say congratulations to him. We recruited through the 2007 rookie draft after a season with Swan Districts in the Waffle, and he made his debut for the Blues in round 7, 2008, against West Coast in 2009. He was named Carlton's Best Clubman.
It's a prestigious award.
Which, what is best form at a nightclub? Is that the Wayne Johnson Memorial Award? Nick, Andrew Walker, Texas, is out for the rest of the year. Can you talk us through that? What happened and how was he after the game?
After the game, he wasn't too bad, I thought. After most of the games for the last kind of month, he's been hobbling around a little bit with the knee that's been causing a little bit of grief. But I was actually a bit shocked when I heard the news that he was going to hang up the boots for the rest of the year. He struggles to get on the track throughout the week, and I think the club's just said, look, kind of enough's enough. We know what you've tried to do for us and put your body through a lot of pain for us. But I think with the kind of finals race out of contention now, they've just thought, yeah, now's the best time to go in and get operated on.
Is it possible to go a bit stir crazy if you don't have the routine of playing football? If you've got a if you've got to, I guess, just concentrate on getting better, you know, say for the next season, which will start in about 6 months' time for walks and all the preparation and everything that goes with that.
Yeah, I reckon it'll be a pretty difficult time for him. Obviously, yeah, he's out for the rest of the year. Then we've got a long pre-season ahead. So I think he's got a pretty solid family, and he's got his kids to keep him company, who, yeah, gorgeous. So, I think he'll be right. He's pretty grounded.
It'll be tough times definitely for the next 6 weeks. But, you know, he's done a tremendous effort to be able to still play with a knee injury, and which has needed surgery, I think, for a few weeks now. So he's been getting through the week pretty much, and just getting right for playing day. And he's been, you know, he's been contributing pretty well for the games. Like, let's be honest, he's been getting the 20 touches, but
yeah.
I think just some of it is lingering around, and he just can't get up training and do much weights. It's kind of set him back a bit. But knowing Walks, mate, he'll be bigger and better next year. That's for sure. He'll take this opportunity to get fit again, and off-season is his time to shine, and he'll be ready for pre-season.
Well, if you love him so much, Robert, what
you should marry him, mate.
Yeah.
He's one of those blokes that need to pump up, though, right now, because he's, you know.
He's just been a great player for the club, and we do wish him a speedy and a full recovery, and we look forward to great things for next year from the great Andrew Walker. Now, multicultural round, Robbo.
You should play a pretty close thing to your heart, because you are Irish and you are Italian.
Yes, exactly. And I am
Australian. Robbo, your girlfriend is
Indigenous?
Yeah.
And I'm just, yeah.
Oh, Yubbo.
You're from Gippsland.
Yeah.
Which
is that multicultural?
Multicultural.
Fully-ish.
Now, it is multicultural round. This week, AFL's multicultural round will celebrate many cultures, one game, highlighting the contribution of multicultural communities make to the Australian, to the AFL at all levels. As a part of Friday night's festivities, an African drumming group will perform from the cheer squad area. Hopefully that'll be, a drum solo?
Should get me out there. Yeah, I'm about drums.
Yeah.
Pretty good drums.
Okay. Do you drum?
I drum, yeah. Amazing drummer.
Okay. Well, if Andrew Walker's not playing, maybe
guitar,
he should be there
drums.
On guitar.
Well, look, mate, I'm just looking for the call up. Look, I've put it out there. If you want to see me drum, let me know.
All right.
Leave a Facebook status and okay. I'll be here.
Okay.
That can be one of our polls. Chuck that on the poll.
Hey, I like it. Head to the Facebook page now. And as a part of Multiculti Round, 23-year-old Malaysian student Neo will be tweeting live updates in Mandarin during Friday night's game against North Melbourne. Neo has been in Melbourne for the past 2 years studying media and communications at Swinburne University of Technology. And no, he's not from the Matrix.
I was going to say that. Oh, mate. Where? You too?
Can I just ask?
What pill did he take? Red or blue one?
Mandarin is? Where is Mandarin?
It's a fruit that you eat.
Well, Mandarin is one of the official languages of China.
Malaysia,
so there's
China.
Cantonese
pretty sure it's
and
Malaysian
Mandarin.
Well.
And if you'd like to receive Neo's tweets, just follow him on @CFC_community. There you go.
Watch out for those robots, though.
thank you. And I hope his tweets are easier to follow than the plot of The Matrix. Tommy Bell. I'm not saying they won't be, of course. Tommy Bell, a big weekend for Tommy.
Huge week for Tommy Bell. My boy. That's
big
my boy.
Bell.
Yeah. He's our boy.
Now, he's what?
He's my boy.
He's a great man. He's great. Subject of one of the, I'll be very diplomatic, stranger free kicks against Sydney. There was the 50-metre that was awarded against Levi that Sydney had a goal from. And Tommy, of course, streaming towards the goal, kicked the ball, was adjudged to have run too far with the ball. And the goal was disallowed. I thought that was a curious decision.
No, he's Tommy Bell, mate. I talk about all day about him, really. I should marry him. But no, he's a velocity boy. We've been managed by the same company, so... No, I've got a lot to do with this bloke. It's amazing to see him sign. I know he's very keen to be a one-club player. It's only early days, but I'm just saying he's definitely wanted to sign that dotted line. So, yeah, good on him.
He follows teammates Mark Murphy, Cade Simpson, Jemmo, Walks, Gibbs, Bucks and Yaron also re-signing this year.
That is a very, very big... That's a coup for the Carlton Football Club because there's some great names there. What about yourself,
Sean
Nick? How's your future looking?
I'm actually out of contract, so hopefully looking to get something done, hopefully, yeah, pretty soon.
Okay, well, good luck with that.
Thank you.
Big Belly has signed a 2-year contract extension, keeping at the Blues until the end of 2016. He's also played 23 games since being recruited to the Blues with pick number 11 in the 2011 rookie draft. So he's a rookie bloke, comes in, works hard, amazing runner, Big Bell.
Yes, and he has been a guest on the podcast, so
last
certainly...
Week.
Sorry?
Last week.
Yes, he was. So we certainly wish him all the best.
Really rates himself in the surfing
loves
department.
Loves himself, yeah. But yeah, really he has some down. We can work on that.
Well, it's only before you love yourself that you can love others, Nick Crowe.
Is that a song? That's should be a song. Be. Love yourself before you love other people.
There you go. Andrew, welcome. I'll put that to music.
That sounds like, that sound like touch myself
around with
that
the African
like
drummers, Robbo. Now, Robbo, as we've mentioned, it's your 100th game. It's a very important game. It's a landmark game. How are we going to beat North Melbourne? We've had some cracking games against them in the last couple of years. Who do we have to neutralise? Who do we have to take? The evergreen Brett Harvey. Yes. He's their very own Craig Bradley.
They are, they're a very good team. They've got a couple of new players as well that's starting to shine a fair bit. Yeah, last three times out of five we've beaten them. So, you know, it's always a pretty good game versus North Melbourne on a big Friday night stage. But, yeah, they, you know, they've beaten Hawthorn a couple weeks ago and they smashed St Kilda. So they're coming for a pretty good win streak. And, you know, we have to nullify, obviously, as you said, Harvey and Dalsano. And, you know, they're in under ballers like Swallow and stuff in there too. So, you know, Petrie's a big one as well. So we need our Jamo and... Big Jamal and Big Whitey and those blokes out there to, stopping him. So, no, they'll work in tandem and we'll try and get him under wraps. But, yeah, it's a big game.
we remember the game against North Melbourne last time. We won by a point. The ball,
thrilling.
I think it was Harvey, yeah, it was who was Harvey. Actually misjudged the bounce of the ball.
Thrilling.
And that was a very, very exciting game at Etihad. It's a pity you haven't played there yet, Nick. That's...
I played one game for the TSC Cup Grand Final.
Yeah.
And I have never played an AFL game there, so...
What do you notice about the surface, though? Is it harder at Etihad than it is at other grounds?
Look, mate, let's be honest. It's a footy field, like, you know, it's going to be slippery. It might be not slippery. They do have a roof.
It's Etihad.
It's Etihad, so, like, you just don't know. Yeah, no, it can be slippery. They leave the roof open and the grass slips underneath because it's on concrete if you played there before. So...
Back in your box, I think... If you love Etihad so much, why don't you marry it, Nick Graham?
You play this week, mate. I'm all for you playing this week.
Now, Robbo, so you are... How's the body after the 2 weeks off? Because you mentioned your training schedule. You weren't in the Magoos. You've been sticking to a game-style type of training.
Yes.
Is that right?
It's been a lot of repeat efforts. Nick could probably tell you if you see me out there spewing up a couple of times. But it's just a lot of...
I don't think
the ball
Nick
and
is
pick it
here
up,
at 4 in the morning, Robbo.
No, he's not. No, I'm here on time usually most times. So, yeah, I'll just do a bit of extra running and a bit of, you know, game-like simulation running and tackle bags and stuff. So it hasn't been fun at all. It hasn't been 2 week vacation, that's for sure. But no, I feel fresh, mate. Body feels good. Mind feels good. Nick Graham looks good. Let's play North Melbourne Friday night.
Great. Well, you're a coiled spring, Robbo. We hope that you keep up the form that you've displayed throughout the year.
Yes.
Nick Graham, do you have a cabinet making business that you'd like to plug? Is there anywhere we can actually go and, you know, get?
I used to work for Highcraft Cabinets down in Traralgon, down in Gippsland, but at the moment, no. So
you're a free agent cabinet maker.
I'm a free agent. I'm open for discussions.
Are you trying to pump this bloke? Have you got some jobs at home that need to be done? Because you've bringing this occupation up 14 times.
No, he's given up his time freely, and we appreciate that of every guest that comes into the podcast. Now, I just wanted to give him a bit of a free plug.
I could be at cabinet making right now if I wasn't here. So
it's a good point.
He gets a player appearance for this. He's fine. He's fine.
Back home in Traralgon. Be hanging around the East Sale RAF base watching the roulette train.
How do you know this stuff?
Bravo. Do you know nothing about me?
I don't know anything.
Nick Graham, thank you so much for coming in and being a guest of the podcast again.
No.
Oh, whoa.
The bloody quiz.
God, oh.
This bloke.
Jeez, where was my head?
I don't know.
Sorry.
What have we missed?
Nick Graham, we can't let you go without partaking of the institution... that is the quiz. Do you know your teammates Mitch Robinson and Nick Pussagraham? Are you ready?
I thought Jeffy was going to be crap, but if I lose to Nick Graham, there's something going on.
What I like, Robbo, is that your 2 week suspension did not apply to your involvement in this particular contest.
Exactly. I have no idea what that meant, but I'll be sharp and ready to go.
I have no idea what's happening right now.
Okay, we'll fire it out. He's going to fire a few questions at us.
Yeah.
He's got to get in with the first answer of who player. Still currently on the list.
Yeah.
And he'll ask both of us, and we can both have a crack. So every question, have your answer, but don't just go...
So we don't have to buzz in?
No buzz.
As soon as you think you know the name, just lob it at me. Okay. Question number one. Before being drafted by Carlton, I played for St Mary's Greensboro Junior Football Club and the Bundoora Football Club in Melbourne's North as a junior.
Matt Cruiser. Bang! Whoa. Matt Cruiser!
It is the big Cruise.
You didn't know. You had no idea.
Greensboro boy.
I knew Greensboro. Yeah. Greensboro. Because my mate, I live with my mate Tim Bongetti, who's from Greensboro, and he came and lived in Tassie for a year, and that's how I knew Cruises from Greensboro way.
Because Fevy was from up that way too, Fev? I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably. No. Yeah.
Greensboro's been good to Carlton, and so we say good day to anybody listening in that fine suburb.
That's a record. Record. First question done.
You've, Robbo, you spent those 2 weeks wisely.
He's probably, told you, I'm switched on.
How many questions have we got? Can I make up for that?
Or? Yeah, okay, well, you probably know who it is now anyway. But
here's number two then, Nick. I then moved to the Northern Knights to play under-18 football in the TAC Cup in 2006 and 2007.
I would have got that too.
Would you have got that?
Yeah, of course. Okay.
You wouldn't have got it.
After being drafted, I made my debut for the Blues during round three clash against Essendon. The same year, I was nominated for an AFL Rising Star. During round seven in 2010, I played my 50th game, while during round 16 of last year, I played my 100th. And earlier this year, I opted to have surgery on my troublesome foot, ruling me out for 12 to 14
Matthew
weeks.
Matthew Cruiser, thank you, mate.
There we go. Well done, Robbo. That bodes well for this week against North Melbourne.
Some early signs, mate. Some early signs.
I like it. I like it a lot. Good luck. Look forward to catching up with you next week. Nick Graham, a delight to have you in at the Carlton podcast again.
Anytime.
And if you need quality cabinets made, just ring the Carlton Football Club.
We'll go into his pigeonhole, so he will see it.
I'll see it.
I'm just trying to do what I can.
Or hit me up on Facebook or something, I don't know.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Good luck. Thank you for listening, whatever corner of the globe you may be in. Tony Moakley here, back with Mitch Robertson for the Carlton Podcast next week. Thanks for your company.